Chapter 153. Harry focuses on the important things.
"Hello, Mum,"
Ron said, coming down the stairs from his sick room.
I found Ginny upstairs.
Ginny, on the stairs behind him, nudged him with an elbow.
"Say something only you would know, Ron," she hissed.
"I'm getting there,"
Ron objected loudly. His mother burst into tears.
"Mother, father," Draco said, stepping into the parlor of Grimmauld Place and folding his hands together to keep them from shaking.
His parents looked perfect, sitting by the fire. He had never felt less perfect in his life.
I hope you have been well."
"Very well, Draco dear,"
his mother said with polite warmth.
"Sit down, won't you?"
He sat, endlessly grateful that none of the army or the order were here to witness this.
"The Dark Lord has perished quite finally," Draco said, looking at the fire. "I can personally attest to it as a witness."
His mother gasped, a horrible, tiny sound.
"I hope you are happy," his father said.
"I think I am beginning to understand your advice about pragmatism, father,"
Draco said, still looking at the fire.
"We must think about the family, after all."
There was silence for a little while.
"Are you well, Draco?"
asked his mother. It surprised Draco more than it surprised his parents when he broke down telling the story. Harry Potter and Hermione Granger did not go home for the last few days of Christmas break. Under cover of invisibility and polyjuice, they flew to Hogwarts on the back of Witherwings. It was embarrassingly easy to poison the Carrows, with easy access to Dobby and the Hogwarts kitchens. Harry felt almost bad, but why come up with a slow-acting poison that causes sleep and horrific nightmares for use on terrible teachers, if not, indeed, to use it on terrible teachers? A storage chest, bought and hastily reconfigured for the purpose, became two prison cells. Harry's sense of irony spiked, and Hermione and Sirius did not object. Harry could have told Ron, who would have objected on the grounds of it being creepy, but he didn't. Ron was going home for a little while, and wasn't that for the best? Harry and Hermione were the ones who couldn't show their faces at Hogwarts without starting a miniature war. Sirius had also bought Harry an ankle holster for a spare wand. It seemed rude, somehow, to carry the elder wand around strapped to his ankle. But he also didn't have a better idea. The war wasn't over, and he certainly wasn't going to lose the thing after all the trouble he'd had with it. Prim, proper, and predatory, Alecto Caro met with the Death Eaters stationed in Hogsmeade and told them that they had been reassigned to the Ministry and that others would be coming to take their place here. Her gaze was firm, her manner authoritarian, as if she was entirely used to commanding troops in battle. With a dark, hooded glare and a bitter smirk, Amicus Caro informed the Hogwarts staff that they would be having a staff meeting in preparation for the new semester. The staff, with stiff formality, acceded to this. The timing was very precise. 50 minutes gone, 10 minutes to go. The woman, who looked very like Alecto, looked at the man whose looks were those of Amicus.
"We don't have to do this," she said softly, gentleness strange with her face and voice.
"Sure we do," he said,
and his voice turned the humor dark.
"When else are we going to get a chance to teach these classes the way they should be taught?"
I'm pretty sure it's wrong somehow.
They're going to enjoy being locked in a trunk more than they'll enjoy Azkaban," he said, dropping his voice. "And I don't know where else we'll send prisoners, even with reforms at the Ministry."
She sighed. "Focus on who you're going to be," he ordered, and set his expression in his best Death Eater snarl. He was the best. He was a sadist. He was, well, a complete git.
Onwards to the staff meeting.
Will the headmaster be joining us? Professor McGonagall asked Harry from the other side of the staff table, and Harry tried to avoid the urge to jump or beg her not to take house points.
He's gone, Harry said, and reconsidered this immediately. Professor Snape wasn't gone. That is, he's not well.
What's wrong with him?
Harry fought the urge to draw his wand at the light in her eye. Irk!
That is not relevant, said his sort of sister. However, in his absence, we will be running Hogwarts as we see fit.
This provoked a very pointed silence.
I shall be taking my classes on field trips to the Muggle cinema to emphasize how disgusting it is, she continued.
That sounds very educational, Slughorn said, attempting to sound jolly. My class will be learning the importance of clearing one's mind and being at peace with oneself, Harry said very solemnly. Another short, confused silence.
I sense death very close to you, Professor Trelawney said and sniffed. I've always thought you were a very underesteemed soothsayer, Harry told her absently. We really must give you a raise.
We can give her a raise, said the woman who looked like Alecto. We could give them all raises.
Right, he said firmly. Raises for everyone. Next order of business?
Professor Sprout said cautiously.
Are you feeling quite all right?
Harry attempted to look forlorn. It didn't really fit his current face.
I have very mixed feelings about Lord Snakeface being dead.
Hermione broke into helpless giggles, covering her face in her hands. Ha! Harry declared. I win! I win! I kept the straight face the longest!
You cheater, Harry Potter! She said, still choking on laughter. Lord Snakeface, indeed! You are awful and should be ashamed of yourself!
Harry? Harry Potter? Asked McGonagall, drawing their attention away from each other. It's all lies, he assured her. I'm Amicus Caro. I like kicking puppies and scowling at people. Harry Potter's just a lie made up by our enemies to annoy us. He doesn't even really exist.
Your father once told me that James Potter was an elaborate fiction based on Polyjuice and thus couldn't be given detention.
Harry looked down and smiled. Professor Slughorn had risen from the table, and Harry let Hermione point her wand at him.
Sit down, please, Professor. Harry and I have things to talk to you all about, and I'd still like to discuss whether it will be possible for us to take our newts on time.
We could take them next year, Harry mutters. There's time.
Don't be silly, said Hermione.
So, where is our third prankster, Mr. Potter? Asked Professor McGonagall, expression far more human. Where is Mr. Weasley?
Ron? He's been home with Splattergroit this whole time.
The Dark Lord is really dead? Asked Slughorn, back in his chair.
Tom Riddle is dead, Harry agreed, though the time isn't right to confirm that publicly.
His hair was curling into its usual mess, just as Hermione's hair was losing its redness as they both reverted to their regular appearances.
So, can we stay and teach? Hermione asked. I promise to keep up with my coursework as well, and we've all been using the syllabi to try to keep up. Harry's had some trouble with the protein charm, but I'm sure he'll do fine now that he has a little less on his mind.
Ravenclaw missed out on a great deal when you were chosen for Gryffindor, said Professor Flitwick. I would be happy to help our new defense teacher master his charms in time for his newts, though, of course, we will have to schedule it around the class schedule.
The Hogwarts class schedule resembled nothing so much as its tangle of magical staircases, with no logical pattern even Hermione had been able to determine. But if Professor Flitwick said it was possible, Harry would believe him.
Fantastic. Professor Slughorn,
and Harry turned to the nervously sweating man. I've got this question about blood replenishment potion.